Well, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to, kind of flip it to Matthew 16, however you do that. We're talking about transformation because of revelation. And this is what I want to shout from the mountaintops. Transformation because of revelation. We are changed because of the revelation of God. Now, when I say revelation, I don't want to confuse people. I'm not talking about the last book of the Bible, which is called Revelation. And it was called Revelation because it was the Apostle John's picture. He was translated, he was transported, and he saw the future events of the world in a vision. I'm not talking about that, but what I am talking about is this, two words, truth revealed. I need everyone in the room to say that, truth revealed, truth revealed. Say it again. Truth revealed. And that's huge. We're going to do it one more time, and I need that pregnant pause between the two. All right? Because it's 2 points. Ready? One, two, three. Truth revealed.
Revealed.
That was good. Give yourself a hand. That was fantastic. Wow. Well, you got the truth revealed thing anyway. Sheila, I don't want to kind of, well, I do totally want to send her out and you embarrass you, but you are leaving for Australia when? Oh, my father, stand up. Oh, Jesus. What is this with Australia and New Zealand thing? What is this? Okay, can we stand, church? We're going to pray. Are you going to have your epiphany? Are you going to have this revelation that happens there as well? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you call, you assign, you ready, you prepare, you speak. And Father, this sandwiches and this marries this message so perfectly. So, Father, thank you for revelation. Thank you for speaking. Thank you, Jesus, that you remind us that we are yours. We're loved by you, and we have a destiny that's from you for our lives. And it's perfect, and it prospers us. Thank you, Jesus, that we walk out of fog and we walk into clearness. Grant that. Protect her physically. Let this 3-month window be just a great window of knowing you better. Heeding your call in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said amen. He's running after you. He's running after everyone in this room. Don't you love it that Jesus is running after you? I'm going to say, just say this. Jesus is running after me. Say it one more time like you believe it. Yeah. Yeah, his love. Truth given. And we find this scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16. And truth revealed, which is our text today. And we're going to look at it with some intentionality. So, here we go. The first element of revelation I want to talk about today is truth given. You have to understand this, and I want everyone to hear this, and that is this. All of our scripture, all of the Bible is a revelation from God. Somebody say amen. It's our life. It's our life source. It is everything. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. All of it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Thank God. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here, and I don't do this often, but I want to do it, and I want us to hear it today. Thank God for our Bible. It is our living word. This is scary to think, but it is true nonetheless. It might shock some people in this room. But it is true nonetheless. Hear this word. The religious establishment, worked tirelessly for centuries to make sure that the Bible wouldn't be in the hands of common man. Did you just hear that sentence? The religious establishment wanted to make sure the Bible was kept from us. Religious people, not atheists, not militant atheists, because they know that when the Bible, when truth gets in our spirit, it changes us. But thank God, many, many through the centuries gave their very lives that we could have this eternal life source. It's like no other literature, like no other entity. The Bible is the great gift to humanity. Somebody say amen. We as Christians believe that this is the complete revelation for us and from God. Hear me today, church. I've been talking about this with different people this week, talking about the deception, spirit of deception, and the lies that are out there. Look no farther than the Bible. God speaks all the time, but it must be measured against the Bible. If it doesn't line up to the Bible, it ain't God. Had a situation this very week where someone asked me and said, I was given a word, I was given a prophetic word, Pastor Todd, I want you to hear it, and then I want you to sort of assess it. And it was full of witchcraft and occult. And I'm like, yeah, no. Don't walk. Run. Don't walk. Run. There's lots of great Christian literature. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of great books written by Christians to instruct and to guide. But again, it must be measured against the Bible. If it doesn't line up to the Bible, it ain't God. God is speaking today. God speaks today. He longs to speak to us. There is prophetic words that are constant and always measured, the plumb line measured with the Bible. That's our safeguard. That's our hallelujah. We believe nothing, and hear me, we believe nothing has the authority. We believe nothing has the authenticity as God's exclusive words, except for the Bible. That's what we believe as Christians. Genesis to Revelation is a fixed and closed canon. Hear me today. If a person, group, or movement say that their literature or belief structure is equal to or supersedes the Bible, be afraid. Be very afraid. In fact, don't be afraid. Just walk away. Love them. Bless them. Want truth for them. But that's dangerous, dangerous ground. Now, I'm very mindful for all of us. I'm very mindful that we live in Canada 2019. We live in Alberta 2019. So our problem, for the most part, is not that. But I'll tell you what our problem is. Realistically, people nowadays have very, very little regard for the Bible or for any other sacred text. In fact, indifference far exceeds that as a problem. But you know what? Even if people don't care about the Bible, don't care about any other literature, and don't care about anything that is divine, we love them, but we believe and love the Bible. The Word of God needs to be our life source. We don't have a strong life without it. You got to get into the Bible. Whenever I'm discipling someone, whenever I'm doing early discipleship with people, first thing I do, let's get in the book. Let's get in the book. You know, let's not just look at Christian literature. Let's not just listen to Christian music. It's all great. Let's not just enjoy Christian worship. It's all fantastic. But let's get in the book. We love the full counsel of God, not just the few choice words, the few choice things that we would naturally heed to. We love all of it. For all scriptures God breathed. Now, we need to esteem this love letter from God like nothing else. Listen to me today. The New Testament, for example, which is, I'm just going to show you, this is a Bible. This is a Bible. It's like the football coach used to say, this is a football. We play football. Look at this football. This is a Bible. We love the Bible. We are led by this book. The Old Testament and New Testament. The New Testament, which actually starts on page 1529 in my Bible. The New Testament is the life after the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this today. The New Testament, for example, is the complete work that was compiled from over a century and a half of analysis and divine scrutiny as Holy Spirit directed the words of the apostles. You say, that's called bibliology. It took me a semester in Bible college. We did bibliology. This Bible, how did we get it? Where did it come from? Why do we believe it's the Bible? Well, I'm not going to go into all of that except to say that thank God that Holy Spirit had revealed his truth to people. They penned it, and today it is our life source. God made sure that the truth was preserved and compiled accurately, Old and New Testament, Genesis to Revelation. Let's move on. The second one that I really want to talk about today is Revelation, Truth Revealed. This is where we're going to spend most of our time today, Truth Revealed. Now, this scripture is very interesting, and it's going to heed into, it's going to step into some other things. But it's the journey, it's a very critical point in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's got 12 disciples that follow him around, and he has to know, and those disciples have to know what they believe. He came to that point. He came to that very critical point. In fact, most theologians say that it is the step into life. It is the moment where the New Testament, where the Gospels step into the fullness of truth. And Jesus says, when Jesus came, and this is Matthew 16, 13 to 18. I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? In other words, who do they say I am? He called himself the Son of Man. They replied, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say that they think you're Elijah. Others say that they think you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then, boom, here's the manifest word. He says, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And he laid that out to all 12. And there was this pregnant pause. There was this hush in the room. And Peter, being Peter, blurted out. But he didn't just blurt out a word because he wanted to be heard. He blurted out a divine truth. Listen to this. Simon Peter answered, oh my, oh my. Get the emphasis. Oh my. You are the Messiah. Oh my goodness, you are the Son of the Living God. You're not just a guy. You're not one of the prophets. Oh my, you are the Messiah. And Jesus went on and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. That was his name before Jesus changed it. He said, for this was not. Listen, get this. For this was not revealed to you by people. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This was not revealed to you by humans. It was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And then this word has rocked the universe ever since. He said, and I tell you, that Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Amen. Say never. The drug crisis will never prevail against it. Jealousy, rage, anger, unforgiveness will never prevail against it. Indifference, atheism, agnosticism will never prevail against it, because I will build my church. And I'm going to build my church on, oh my, just wait. And here, let's now look at all of this scripture in its fullness. Number one, Jesus said, who do they say I am? Then they went on to say, well, you know what? Some say John the Baptist, Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, another prophet. Jesus asked the disciples this to test them. He wanted to see what they were going to say, and I'll tell you why. Because often, the they say factor, and I hear this all the time, well, you know what they say? I'm hearing these things. They say that the music's too loud in the church. They say that there's a... They say, you know what the they say is? Me. The they say is, I don't have an opinion yet. They say is really where the they say factor. If we can project it onto someone else, then there's no recrimination on me. In other words, I'm going to throw someone else over, under the bus. And then I'm not going to be blamed. So Jesus said, okay, disciples, you failed that one. Peter, you passed the test. The rest of you, you failed the test. He said, okay, let me take this a little step further. Okay, I know that they say that you could be anything. But guys, you 11, you 12, and here it is. Who do you say I am? That's the game changer. Who do you say I am? So I pose the question today in this room to everyone listening to my voice in this room and who will hear this message from the internet. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? In your heart, you, your revelation. Not the they. Not that our church believes, not my neighbor believes, not my mom, not my dad, not my son, not my daughter, but who I believe. It's huge. That's the game changer, is what you believe. Who do you say I am? I don't care about the they, Jesus basically said. I care about the you. Hear this sentence, put this in your phone. Because the revelation on you is the only thing that's going to change you. The revelation on you is the only thing going to change you. And we know what Peter said. We already declared it. Oh, my goodness. I now realize you're the Messiah. You're the King. You're the living God. You're the Son of the living God. Great things happen when truth is revealed. It moves from conceptual and ethereal to life-changing. Now, number four, verse 17. Jesus replied, good work, that a boy, Peter. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Now, revelation, it isn't from institution. It isn't from intuition. Revelation isn't from a university degree. Somebody say amen. Revelation is not from old-time smarts. Revelation does not come from a lot of years traveled. Revelation does not come from common sense. Revelation comes from the Father in heaven. Now, number five. There's been a lot of debate through the centuries on what this verse actually means. I will try to explain it the best I know how. Peter. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, of course, there's a great debate. Does that mean upon Peter I'm going to build my church? we believe as Christians that that means upon this confession, upon this declaration, upon this revelation of knowing who I am, I'm going to build my church. There it is. Truth revealed. It's very weighty. Jesus said, I'm going to form and I'm going to run this church of mine by that revelation. Oh my. Not that just that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, but that he's my Almighty God. Not just that he might be a God or I believe in a God out there, but that Jesus Christ is my God. He is in me. Now, I'm going to show you another place where this happened. Revelation became life. And it's John 20, 28. The exact same thing happened, a revelation about who Jesus Christ is. And I would say this is where life starts. It's John 20, and let's just back it up a little bit. In fact, I'm going to back up all the way to 24. So it's John 20, 24, right till the end. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples because he was having a coffee down at Timber. He should have been at church, but he was down at Timber having a coffee, which is okay. And so the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and I put my finger right in the nail where the nails were, and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Yeah, I believe that Jesus is a person. Yeah, I believe in a God or whatever. But until I actually put my finger in his side, and I can see the gigantic hole in his wrists, I'm not going to believe that he is anything more than a super nice guy with a nice sandals and cool long hair. That's what it actually says right there. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas now was with them. Though the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them, walked right through the door. That'll freak you out. You see this actual physical person walking through a door. Doesn't need to open it. And Jesus said, peace be with you. Probably said that because they were terrified because he had just walked through a door. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, all right, I already know your heart. I already know your mind. In fact, I've read your mail. I know what you said to those guys. So you know what? Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your side and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe that I'm God. Did everyone hear that? Thomas said to him, oh my, you are God. Oh my, you are God. He adored and worshiped his king. You are God. Now I believe. Revelation of salvation happened that day. And then Jesus went on to say, okay, you finally get it. Blessed are those who are going to believe if they can't see my side or my wrist. In fact, everyone going forward, blessed be. Revelation of invitation. Do you know Jesus Christ is God? Does it mean anything to you? Has it transformed your life that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God? That's what we believe. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe. Now, I ask you the question, has it transformed your life? Does it mean anything to you other than just an ethereal fact? That's the game changer. Today, if God is speaking, you've never crossed over from death onto life. If you've never surrendered, if you're like Thomas to say, yeah, I believe in God or something, but it's not landed where he's become your king, your savior, maybe today's the day. Let me give you an illustration to it, and then we're almost done. No, we're not. Again, the difference between something there as opposed to something there for you. It's like someone that could have a cure for cancer. All cancers instantly fixed by this potion. If you take this potion, you will be healed. But if it stays in the laboratory cabinet, or if it simply stays as a theory on a computer screen, it does nothing. somebody say, that's true. Thank you for that. It's true out there. Thank you. People die without the serum. In the same way, people die without the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus being the all-sufficient King is a truth in the universe. That's true. But is it yours today? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't move anyone until the truth is applied and activated. Now we have the revelation that he actually is the Almighty King. But now it's ours, and it's God in us. We're going to change the world. God is in us. I know now that God is in me. Listen to this. This is the whole thing. This is the whole message. I now know God is in me. We're going to change the world because God is in me. Now, that's what Jesus was saying when he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. In other words, when you get the revelation that God is in you and nothing can stop you, that's how I'm going to build my church. Somebody get excited. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you. That's how I'm going to build my church. When you know I'm in you and you know I'm God and you can do anything, you can do all things because Jesus Christ is in you, then I'm going to build the church. That's how the church is going to be built, and that's how hell's not going to prevail against it. Woo! That's the confession. Now, it applies to, thank you, there's a preacher there. It applies to who Jesus is, but it also applies to any truth from the Bible. When it's made alive to us, then the kingdom increases. Let me give me a couple of examples. My mom was a Christian for about a year. She became a Christian later on in life, about in her 40s, I guess, eh? And she had went to a Christian camp back 20 years before, but my dad would have nothing to do with those weird religious people, so it never grew. You're not going to become a religious Bible thumper in my home. So she went underground, let it die. I came to Christ. I was transformed. And then I think she probably went, wow, I can come out of hiding. I can become a Christian. I can start following Jesus. And she started following Jesus about a year after me. I'm at her house. And I'll never forget the moment. We're talking about the Lord, we're talking about the Bible, and this just and we stopped. I don't know, I even remember the conversation, but I remember this. She stopped, the air froze. There was this pregnant pause, and of course, when you get a revelation, you got to look out into the distance. Right? That's how you know it's a revelation, that you look out into the distance. It's the aha, right? It's the aha. Ah. And I'll never forget, she looked at me and she says, we didn't evolve. We were created by God. And I went, well, duh. I said, that, Mom, was revelation. And then it was like, because she was a huge advocate of evolution. Evolution's wrong, by the way, just so you know. But you have to learn that for yourself. Or that God uses the evolution process. That God uses the evolution process as if you were a monkey and then you became a human. And that was God. Let me think. No. God made all of them. God made humans. Anyway, it didn't matter. It landed in her heart. It became her truth that moment. Revelation. What is a revelation from God's word that's landing in your heart? What is a truth from God's word that has landed in your heart in the last year? Is it a truth of the sanctity of life? Is it a truth that we shouldn't judge one another? Is it a truth that we must forgive or receive or give forgiveness? This is huge. This one's big. Is it the revelation about who I am, about identity issues? That's huge. I've got good news for you. The Bible says in Genesis, God made the male and female. Who made the male and female? God made the male and female. He decides if you're male or female, not us. But again, if that revelation is not yours, When it becomes yours, then you're changed. Identity issues, who I am, the revelation that I'm loved and valuable. Oh, my. Oh, my. Somebody say, oh, my. The revelation that I'm loved and I'm valuable. It's big. Got to move on. Revelation is seeing things from God's perspective. It's a brand new way. It's a new and living way. We always prefer to see things from our perspective, but then when revelation comes, we see it from God's perspective. It's not temporal anymore. It's God's eternal. Revelation makes the kingdom alive. Revelation is that aha moment. I just mentioned it. That's why I did that, or that's why he's like that. Revelation gives us understanding. You have more wisdom. It lets you have greater capacity to have a better life when there's more revelation. Revelation is that truth from God that lands in your heart, becomes yours. The Bible now makes sense in that place. It meant nothing. You could have read that in the Bible 20 times, but then that 21st time, then it lands, and it's yours. The aha moment. Finally, revelation is brighter and clearer. You don't live in a fog anymore. You don't live in this, what's it all for, who cares, depression. Nothing matters. Nothing has any meaning. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I once was blind, John Newton penned. In other words, I did dumb things my way, but now I see, doing good things God's way. It's the ongoing epiphanies from God. Life changes. Here, this definitely put this in your phone. This is the quote of the day. Everybody ready? Life changes because of revelation, not rules. Life changes because of revelation, not because of rules. Okay, you've preached well, Pastor. This has been an incredible sermon. Wow. This has been fantastic. You've rung the bell today. This is great. I want revelation. You say, get me some of that. Get me some of that. Where does it come? How do you get it? I'll tell you how. It's only 5 easy payments of $29.95. And if you act right now, while this commercial's still on, we will only make it 4 payments of $29.95. And we'll even throw in the shipping and handling. Somebody say hallelujah. That's how you get revelation. It's only $140. Oh, if it was that easy. But I'll tell you how to get it. When does revelation come? Anybody? Huh. When you read the word. You got to get the word in you for revelation from the word to come. You have to have the word in you first, don't you? For then it to become living and active. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, Bill Johnson says you get revelation when you're ready for it. You get revelation when you want it. You get revelation when your heart is prepared for it. When you're willing to be a container for it. When you're prepared, when you've drilled for it, when you've read the word. Jesus said, he gave this instruction, good instruction on any situation. And hear this, any situation, good instruction. In fact, you know what? Worship team, can you come on back? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to finish this thing up. We're going to get revelation. Someone's going to come alive today. Somebody say amen. I should have been a black preacher. I really should have been a black preacher. Come alive today. Someone's going to come alive and wake up and rise today. Somebody say amen. And amen. Jesus said, don't throw your pearls to pigs. In fact, what do you mean don't throw pearls to pigs? Don't give wonderful stuff to people that won't appreciate it. That's right. You know why you don't give wonderful stuff to people who won't appreciate it? Because they'll squander it. It's like the real estate will. There's precious heirloom that meant everything to somebody, and they died. But the kids could care less. They're just going to sell it, and they want some cash. That person that's dying is going to be more reluctant to give it to them because they're not going to appreciate it. In the same way, how can God give treasures to people that won't appreciate it? So Jesus wants us to appreciate revelation. So there's your answer. Appreciate revelation. Appreciate treasures from God. And I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to read this entire passage. Yeah. I read this before. This jumped out of the page at me about 2 years, 3 years ago. Again, it was Revelation. Richard and I have talked about this many, many times. Listen to this. It's Paul's words in Ephesians. Yeah, keep playing. That's beautiful. It's Paul's words in Ephesians. And he said, "For this very reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I pray for you all the time." This is how I pray for you, Ephesians church. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, see, remember Jesus said revelation comes from the Father? It says that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Isn't that cool? I pray that the Father will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know me better, so that you may know God better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of this glorious inheritance in his holy people. That your eyes will be open and you'll see. I once was blind, but now I see. Just bring that down for a moment because it's going to conflict with my open the eyes. Stand with me, church. Just bring it down. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Say it again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lift. It up, shining in the light of your glory. Come on. It's your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of our hearts today, Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts, Jesus. We're ready. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want to see you, Jesus. We need our eyes open more and more. And we need to pray that more people will have their eyes opened and come to know the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, another person say amen. I need 10 more people say amen. Thank you. Open the eyes of my heart. Let's just take a moment now. We've got lots of time. We're going to dismiss in a couple of minutes. But you know what? Just press. Just drill into God right now. Let revelation come in this room. Let revelation come in this room. Maybe you're going to get an aha moment right here, right in the midst of this place. You've been coming here for how many years? And a revelation is going to land today.